Looking for a new sports show?
So my wife and I go to the movies because you have to go opening weekend.
Yeah, I was with my boy, so he got us right up to the front of the line of this new club.
So I'm stuck watching my sister's dog again. He's throwing up all night.
2.5 games back in the standings, I feel like the Mets are one big bat away from competing. Imagine that. A sports show that's about sports. The Joe Fan Show. Are you fan enough?
Welcome to the Joe Fan Show with your host, Clayton Hamilton.
Greetings, sports fans. My name is Clayton Hamilton, and you're listening to the Joe Fan Show, coming to you live from fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, the greatest city in the world. Right here on the home of Vegas sports, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Let's check the headlines. Elena Svitolina won her first ATP title at the Brisbane International this morning, 6-2, 6-1 over Alexandra Sanznovic. On the men's side, Nick Kyrgios beat top-seeded Grigor Dimitrov 3-6, 6-1, 6-4 to advance to the final, where he will face American Ryan Harrison. David Kulbacki of Poland won the qualification round at Bischofshofen, and will jump last on the fourth and final stop of the Four Hills Tournament, the Grand Slam of ski jumping. His fellow countryman Kamil Stock won the previous three legs. He will could compete the Grand Slam today. He qualified in fifth. And Brady Tennell won the U.S. National Figure Skating Championship last night in San Jose with a score of 145.72 ahead of Mariah Nagasu and Karen Chen. Ashley Wagner finished fourth and then blasted the judges, saying she was furious over the decision. The top three at Nationals do not automatically make the U.S. Olympic team, however. The positions will be decided by a special committee and announced later today. Today we have Matt Reed and Jeff Klein. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Are you fan enough?
So let's get loud and let's get proud. We got a game.
Joe Fan Show is brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, with locations in both Henderson and on the West Side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvprc.com and take the first step toward a feeling great. Clayton Hamilton here in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada, on a beautiful Saturday morning. Super psyched. Jeff Klein is in town. He's in the studio from L.A.
Hey, Clayton, how's it going?
It's going great.
I noticed you said Ashley Wagner was upset with the judges. That never happens.
Happens ever in the world of sport. Ashley Wagner, the big B of figure skating. Let's go out to Oakland, California. Welcome in Matt Reed.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
Hey, how about that Ashley Wagner, man? Can you believe that crap? Like, she finishes fourth, and then she's like, oh, the judges suck.
Well, that's why she finished fourth, right?
Yeah, it's all their fault. She said, I'm furious. I'm absolutely furious. I know when I go and I lay it down, I absolutely left one jump on the table. But for me to put out two programs that I did at this competition as solid as I skated and get those scores, I'm furious, and I think deservedly so. Wah! You know what, Ashley Wagner? Here's the thing. You finished fourth last time before Sochi, and you stole a spot from Mariah Nagasu, and you finished fourth again, and I hope you don't make it. I hope you stay home. Mariah Nagasu, Karen Chen belong on the Olympic team, and I'm angry.
You know, maybe we're looking at this all wrong. Maybe her blasting the refs just shows she has a future in the NBA.
Maybe. Could be. But yes, Matt, in case you're wondering, it is Saturday morning, and I am a dude that is fired up about women's figure skating. I hope this committee doesn't blow it like the National Championship Committee in college football. You know how I feel about committees. Why do you have the Nationals? Why do you have trials if you're just going to go to a committee?
Exactly. That is the best part, is that they go through all the trials and it still comes down to someone else picking the team.
Yeah, it's so bad. If Mariah Nagasu gets jobbed again, I'm done. I'm done with ladies figure skating.
We know that's
Oh, you can never quit ladies figure skating. Don't lie to us.
That's true. Hey, Matt. Yes, how about Kamil Stoch from Poland can get the grand slam of ski jumping today? He can win all four events. It's only been done one time, 2001, 2002, by Sven Hannenwald of Germany. Kamil Stoch could do it today.
I know you're pulling for him, right?
I am pulling for him. He's got Stefan Kraft is his biggest rival from Austria. But Kamil Stoch, he's going to be my number one pick. Must see men's large hill at the Olympics. Check out JoeFanShow.com. We're going to have the top 25 do not miss events. I'm starting to put them together as players are starting to be announced on teams. But do not miss it. The rivalry between Stefan Kraft of Austria and Kamil Stoch of Poland. This is Durant Westbrook of ski jumping.
Yeah, most fans don't realize how exciting a lot of these matchups are going to be, and we're going to be updating fans, so they'll be fully invested once the Olympics come.
Hey, Matt, I will PayPal you $1 if you can tell me the four events on the Four Hills tournament.
It's too early in the morning for me, Clayton. See, this is why I love doing the show with you, because where I falter, I know you're right there to pick the pieces up.
That would be Oberstdorf, Germany, Innsbruck, Austria, Garmisch-Partenkirchen, and then today at Bischofshofen in Austria. Kamil Stoch. It'll go to the Olympic Channel. It'll be live on the Olympic Channel today. Hey, Matt, you know what else I want to start the day with? I know we got a lot of football to get to today. But you know what? I got to get over this whole Ashley Wagner thing, because she just irritates me beyond all belief. She's maybe my least favorite athlete in America right now. I want to start with what I start with every week, and that is, guess what the Golden Knights did last night? They won again.
No way! Get out of here.
I know, right? It's like an old story. I'm like, oh yeah, they won again.
Yeah.
Beat Chicago. Beat Patrick Kane.
5-4. You know, that's the best part. You know, they can shut teams out. They can outscore them. I mean, what don't they do?
Well, yesterday they had a 3-1 lead, gave it away, went down 5-4, and then Cody Eakin with a blast to tie it, and then Riley Smith just he pulled the old Connor McDavid. The only difference between Riley Smith and Connor McDavid is when Riley Smith gets a breakaway, he can finish. Connor McDavid can't.
Yeah, this team's amazing. They're winning every way possible. I mean, they blow teams out. They have games where they fall behind early and they come back strong and win. Yesterday felt like, well, this one was going to be one that just kind of got away from them. They were in control at the beginning and then sort of got a little sloppy there, and then they pulled it together and got the win. It's amazing to watch what this team's been able to do in their first season.
And it's just fun to beat Chicago, because for as much crap as I give LA, the only city in America that I hate more than Los Angeles is Chicago. And Chicago came in with three of the top 100 players in the history of the NHL, according to NHL.com. And now they've lost two times, Matt, to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Hey, I love it. You woke up fired up this morning, huh?
You know why? Because we had the game last night, and so I didn't get home till like 1:30, and then I was up at 4. So,
oh yeah.
So I'm gonna crash a little bit later, but you know, get a little sleep, a little nappy poo there before the football games, and before I check out Kamil Stoch winning the Grand Slam of ski jumping. Little sad news though on the Grand Slam front. I don't know if you saw this, Matt, but Serena Williams not going to be at the Australian Open.
Yeah, I did see that. I know that's a bummer. That's your favorite time of the year, is staying up till 4 a.m. watching the Australian Open. But you know, she wasn't right now, and why go down there and put in a subpar performance? You know, we want to see when she comes back. We want to see peak Serena. So
yeah, she lost to Yelena Ostapenko in an exhibition match. Said not ready. Got beat by the 20-year-old Latvian. Not ready.
Yeah, I thought you were fired up because Chucky's back. Chucky's going to be in Vegas soon.
Yeah. Chucky, $100 million, 10 years for Chucky.
Oh, man.
But this is what I want to know. Like, who's going to do Gruden's quarterback camp?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Who will do it? Maybe he'll still do it.
It's going to be Johnny Manziel.
Goodness of his heart for everyone.
Johnny Manziel.
Oh, jeez. That'd be no. No.
It's like a pub crawl, though. It's just Johnny Manziel quarterback camp.
Yeah. Well, Johnny Manziel, we all know he played a little bit of second base, but didn't he also play some point guard? Can we send him to Latvia? Let him hook up with the balls? What could go wrong, Johnny Manziel in Latvia?
Or that'd
Lithuania.
Be a great
Lithuania,
reality,
Latvia,
yeah.
Lithuania. Yeah.
Lithuania.
Lithuania. Yeah.
Lithuania. Yeah. Yeah.
You know who would be upset about that? Arvydas Sabonis. He'd be mad. He'd be like, don't confuse Latvia and Lithuania. I once met a bartender from Latvia. I met her in London. She was fantastic. She was. She was a really cool person. The only person I ever met from Latvia. I never met Kristaps Porzingis. He's from.
Well, never say never.
Never say never. That's right.
Once the NBA team comes to Vegas, you'll have NBA players through there all the time.
That's right. We've already got the WNBA, the Aces. Bill Laimbeer was here the other day, Matt, cruising around the building.
One of the original bad boys.
Got
huh?
Got a bit of a limp. He wore long pants though, no short shorts for Bill Laimbeer, which we were all grateful. Yeah, but Chucky, let's talk about that real quick. Let's go a little out of order today. 10 years, $100 million going to be announced on Tuesday for John Gruden, who really wasn't that great of a coach.
Yeah, I think he's left off reputation and name a little bit more, marketing himself maybe a little bit more than actual putting it together. He won a Super Bowl, though. I mean,
he did. He won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players, Matt.
Who is this, Jeff Fisher now? Yeah, he won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players and a good system down there and you know, he brought some life to the Raiders and the Raiders had a couple good teams, and I was surprised the fact that that he didn't take them even further. But yes, he lives off of reputation. I think his energy, obviously the way he goes about his business, it kind of draws people in, and so this is a hire not only for selling tickets, especially when the new stadium and when the team moves, you want to have that big name. But, this keeps people interested up here in Oakland. This brings, Mark Davis maybe closer to being compared to Al Davis. He's lived in his dad's shadow, and this is his dad's guy. He went out and got him. He's always loved him. We'll see. I think he's surrounding himself with a pretty good supporting cast right now. I think the assistant coaches he's bringing in, Gunther from Cincinnati.
The one thing I think is kind of a coup for the Raiders is the only way you could really lure someone like John Gruden out is a huge contract like 10 years, $100 million. So I think I agree with Matt. It's a hire for a lot of various reasons, not just on the winning side, but for marketing, selling tickets, getting headlines and so forth.
All I know is, like I said, he won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players against his former team where he knew everything that they were going to do. And, oh, yeah, didn't Barrett Robbins go on walkabout all drunk that morning for the Raiders? And they missing their offensive line in that Super Bowl, Matt?
Yeah, he did. He went missing down there in San Diego. And it was unfortunate, but, yeah. He's been around the game the whole time, so there's a lot of old coaches that come back, I think, and we say that, the game's passed him by. I think he's been around the game enough, and you could tell he's a guy that goes in there and he'll grind it out. Even he's breaking down film even when he's not coaching, so we'll see. Give it a year or two and see how it rolls out.
The thing that I hope is that they reunite Chris Spielman with Sean McDonough on Monday Night Football, because I like the two of them when they did college, so maybe they can do pro. Chris Spielman been doing pro, I believe, for CBS as of late, but maybe ESPN will bring him back, even though that's all ESPN does is fire people now. They don't hire anybody, but I wonder who's going to be left. The old ESPN, Herm Edwards, not there anymore. Can't get that guy. He's He's going to be off losing games at Arizona State. So
Rex Ryan.
Yeah, Lordy. Sean McDonough and Rex Ryan. Yikes.
Yep.
It's terrible. Hey, let's look at those football games today, Matt. Let's start with the Rams. Are they for real, or do the Atlanta Falcons have a Super Bowl run in them?
Well, the Rams are for real. I think what McVay's done with this team this year has been remarkable. That the offense, I mean, they had averaged 29.9 points a game, which was the most in football. So, you know, we can't take that away from them. The defense got, you know, defense improved, and Aaron Donald, I think, has a case for being defense player of the year. So the Rams are definitely for real. You know, this will be Goff's first playoff game. I'm sure the nerves will be there, but I think McVay's done a good job of kind of controlling that and, you know, giving him some easy throws to start the game, leaning on Gurley a little bit. You know, this Atlanta team, last year, they went on the big run, should have won the Super Bowl. The loss of Kyle Shanahan going with the 49ers and Sarkisian coming in calling plays, I think, has been the big difference this year. This offense has no flow to it, so they're always dangerous with the weapons they have. You know, Julio Jones, obviously a big playmaker, Freeman, Matt Ryan, but I think the way the Rams are playing right now and the way Atlanta has been going about it the last couple weeks, I think the Rams have definitely a huge shot at home to, you know, pick up their first playoff win in a long time.
Yeah, the Rams, I think, answered the question a while ago on whether or not they were for real. They're 7, and out of their 11 wins, 7 of them came against teams with a 500 or better record. And, you know, they have so many different weapons. They do it on both sides of the ball. They're 5th in takeaways. They're one of the top teams is, you know, putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. They're up there, one of the top teams as far as sacking the quarterback. They have an potential MVP candidate in Todd Gurley, and Jared Goff is really, under McVay, has really just taken the next step and elevated his game. So I think that Goff can spread the ball out. So to me, this is the Rams game to lose. You know, the Falcons, like Matt said, have a lot of weapons and they have the experience. But Rams come in with so much confidence, it's going to be a tough one for the Falcons to win.
Jared Goff, 28 touchdowns, 7 interceptions this year, Matt. But the $100 million man, John Gruden, said Jared Goff's got tiny hands. How can you win with tiny hands?
Yeah, he did have tiny hands. So in the first year, it looked like he had a tiny brain, but we could put that all on Jeff Fisher. McVay's come in and just the – you know, just the transformation from Goff, not only Goff, but the whole offense, and, you know, really a big part of it was, you know, Whitworth, you know, bringing in a left tackle that could protect Goff and let him stay on his feet a little longer. I mean, it made a huge difference. And yeah, as a Ram fan, I was ready to write off Goff after that rookie season and saying, oh man, well, you know, look at what Wentz is doing and what did we get? And even watching Wentz early in the year, but Goff, I mean, you had to be impressed with the way he played this year, and you know, take nothing away from, you know, from what he did, because it's just been, I'm stumbling over my words because I'm so shocked as a Ram fan that we're talking about Rams are in the playoffs today.
Yeah, playoffs.
Tell me at the beginning of the year you would have ever thought that was going to be the case.
Hey Matt, I'm curious what you think. You know, the team's so different under McVay versus Fisher. What do you think is the biggest difference between those two coaches?
Oh, I mean, I
besides
think McVay,
obviously the wins.
Jeff Fisher was a guy that wanted to be your best friend. He was like a fake rah-rah guy. That's where McVay is a huge rah-rah guy, but he's also he holds you accountable. I mean, he just changed the whole culture of that team. He came in right for the – it's accountability, it's preparation, it's getting it done. He's going to chew you when you need to be chewed out, but, you know, he'll give you a pat in the back when you do well. I think just his imagination on the offense side of the ball. I mean, Boris, the offense coordinator for the Rams the last couple of years that Fisher brought in, we said with Todd Gurley, you know, at the end of last year was comparing it to a middle school offense. And, I mean, we see what McVay's come in and done with this offense. I mean, it's night and day, and I think that's the biggest difference is that, you know, the Rams actually can have some trickery, can fool some teams, can actually move the ball up and down the field. I'll tell you the one area that really concerns me right now is the loss of Greg Zuerlein was a huge loss because, you know, anything from about 55 in was pretty much automatic this year for Greg Zuerlein making field goals and kickoffs through the back of the end zone. Now, you know, as we've seen the last couple of weeks, the kicking game's a little shaky. So I really hope it doesn't come down to to them needing a kick.
We have turned a corner because Matt Reed is treating kickers like real football players. What I would be concerned about is the Rams finishing 28th in the NFL against the run this year. Opponents averaging a 4.7 yards per carry, and Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman coming to town. So that is where it's going to be a one for me. If Aaron Donald and the boys can keep the running game in check, I like the Rams today.
I'll tell you what, Clayton, I trust Sarkisian enough to screw that up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a distinct possibility. On the other NFC side, Carolina Panthers and New Orleans Saints meeting for the third time. Saints have gotten the best of the Panthers in both of them. Most folks think that the Saints have the best chance that the NFC offers to beat either the Steelers or the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but they also agree that they may not get by this game. This is the one team in the NFC that can stop the Saints train. Matt?
Yeah, it's always tough to beat a team three times, and that's what New Orleans is going to try to do, is beat Carolina for the third time. I think, in the two games they played him, they did a really good job of limiting Cam Newton to staying in the pocket, not letting him get loose too much, and really forcing him to beat him through the air, which I think is hard for him to do. On the offensive side of the ball, the two-headed monster of Ingram and Kamara have just been unbelievable this year, especially Kamara. I mean, we've seen him do it, in the special teams, catching the ball, running the ball, just kind of jack of all trades, and it really is tough for Carolina to slow them down. So as long as Drew Brees takes care of the ball, I think we've seen in their losses the turnovers have hurt New Orleans. If they take care of the ball, keep Cam in the pocket, don't let him run wild against them, I think hopefully they beat him again. And you're right, this offense is scary enough for some teams. I think a few of the offense in the NFC that they really could give New England, Pittsburgh a run for the money. I don't think it's New England or Pittsburgh or nobody else. I think the NFC has been tough this year, and I think whoever comes out of the NFC is going to give a good battle in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think for New Orleans, this game is, it is tough to beat a team three times, but I just don't think the Panthers are dynamic enough on offense to really go against the Saints. One thing I think is unique about the Saints team that we've seen in the last few years is their defense has really stepped it up. Breeze is having one of his best years, but you can always count on him to be good. And now, as Matt mentioned, with Kamara and the running game, they have a lot more options on offense. But I think, Cam Newton can make plays. He's not as great as a pure quarterback. So if they put pressure on him, which is going to happen because they just don't have the personnel to really give Cam Newton a lot of options. Their two leading rushers, Jonathan Stewart and McCaffrey, are both respectively 3.4 and 3.7 yards per game. So they don't really have that ground game to really move the ball around, make plays if there's pressure and Cam Newton is forced to limit his game. So I really like the Saints here going forward.
It's not hard to beat a team three times, Matt. The Astros beat the Dodgers four. I'm just saying.
Wow.
That was a low blow.
I went there because we're going to talk a little baseball after the break. But before we run to that, Matt, we talk so much about New England and Pittsburgh. There are four other teams in the AFC. Any of them got a shot? Buffalo, Jacksonville, Tennessee, or Kansas City?
I would say if Kansas City up against New England, we saw what they did opening night against them. I think they would give New England a game. And Jacksonville with that defense, you never know. I mean, they went into Pittsburgh and beat Pittsburgh. So, yeah, both if both favorites win today and go up, they both have wins against that team at their place. And, nothing's for a given. But I would love to see Pittsburgh, New England one more time, though.
I think maybe Jacksonville. I'm a big fan of defense. I love Jacksonville's defense this year. Really grind teams down, but I don't know. It scares me to put a lot of faith in Blake Bortles.
Yeah. Who would have thought, Matt, we would live in a world where Jacksonville or Buffalo is going to be in the second round of the playoffs? No faith.
Gotta Buffalo, take some Bengals for that, huh?
Buffalo's not a live dog, huh? No? No Buffalo today? No Tyrod Taylor?
No chance. Especially with McCoy banged up. I mean, come on.
All right.
That's good. That's tough.
What if they wear the old O.J. Simpson full red buffalo helmet?
Maybe if OJ's in the helmet.
Yeah, maybe. O.J. I haven't seen him around town yet. Keep looking for him. But I haven't seen
him. You'll still stumble upon him.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I don't think we hang out in the same places, but maybe I should start. I guess.
not a good idea.
No, he didn't do it. He said he didn't do it. I mean, you know, I don't have any of his memorabilia, so he's not going to attack me with a gun, right? And then he didn't do the other one, so we're good.
I think the reason you can't find him is because he's out busy looking for the killer.
Yes, that's correct. I hope he finds. Good luck, OJ. When we come back, we're going to jump into a little baseball. Can you believe it? We're just 40-something days away to pitchers and catchers reporting. Jeff Klein in the house. He's going to break down some pitching free agents that are still out there on the market. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Joe Fan Show and on the web at joefanshow.com.
For live interaction and sports chat, follow Clayton on Twitter at Clayton_JoeFan.
Limited mobility, stress, pain. These are things we don't have to learn to live with. The Las Vegas Pain Relief Center will get you started on taking an active approach to your health. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated team have been serving our community for more than a decade to help Las Vegans resolve their pain and perform at their very best. Through the use of active relief techniques, they can treat the cause of your pain instead of just chasing the symptoms. Visit their website at LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com or call them at 702-948-2520 to learn more about chiropractic, corrective patterning, personal training, and massage therapies used by professional athletes. LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com. Don't settle for feeling good when you can feel great.
Looking for a high-quality wood bat for your summer league game?
Want to make a home run impression at your next award presentation? Visit PhoenixBats.com.
Phoenix Bats has been proudly crafting premium game bats and award bats right here in the USA since 1996.
Approved for use by players in major and minor leagues since 2000, each and every Phoenix bat meets the same high standards for wood quality.
This ain't no big box sports store bat, it's a Phoenix bat.
Get yours at PhoenixBats.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show right here in Las Vegas. Clayton Hamilton here in studio with Jeff Klein in from L.A. for the day out in Oakland, California. Matt Reed. And Matt, I just came across this and it set me off again. Ashley Wagner said, I think all these girls delivered when they needed to, but I want to be on that Olympic team, and I'm really mad that I'm in this position again. Well, guess what, honey? If you're mad that you're in this position, hit all of your component elements. God, she irritates me.
I can only imagine being around you when the Olympics start. It's going to be sweet chaos.
That's right. I want Team USA to represent with the best that we have. And Ashley Wagner, you are not the best that America has to offer. So stay home. Let Mariah Nagasu, Karen Chen, go represent USA. I feel better now. I feel better. We're getting ready for baseball, Jeff. Some free agents, though, are still jobless, namely Yu Darvish and Jake Arrieta, who they thought perhaps there would be a bidding war over the two of them, but all things have been quiet. Why do these guys not have a contract?
Yeah, it's a good question. That's probably been the biggest story of the hot stove, is that it's been the cold stove this year. Just not a lot of moves. Very few players have been signed. Especially on the pitching side, there's been the biggest active market's been the relievers. But as far as starting pitching, I think teams are weary of pitchers over 30. And Arrieta is going to be 32 on opening day. Yu Darvish will be 31 on opening day. And I think for Yu Darvish, there's been some concern based off of what happened in the World Series last year, which has been seared into my brain as a Dodger fan. Probably the worst starts you can expect from any starting pitcher in the World Series. He got blown up on both starts. And so a lot of teams are trying to figure out, you know, what's the real Yu Darvish going forward? He's someone that's, there's been a lot of talk. Is he as good as people say he is? Right. So there's some people think his numbers are inflated. He beats up on the weaker opponents. He doesn't do well against the stronger opponents. He's a bit of a mixed bag. So I think there's a lot of questions there, and teams are trying to figure out, what's the price point for you, Darvish?
To that point, Matt, 9 runs in 3 1/3 innings in the World Series for Yu Darvish. His numbers are precipitously lower than before his Tommy John surgery. Is Yu Darvish washed up?
No, he's not washed up. I mean, if we saw, the performance against the Cubs, he was lights out, and I want to say, even throughout the season, he had some big performances for the Dodgers down the stretch. But the thing is, supposedly he was tipping his pitches, which we're talking Game 7 of the World Series, and you got a guy that you went out and made a huge trade for, and he's tipping his pitches. I mean, you don't want that from a guy who's supposed to be a stud. He still has plenty left. I mean, his ball still had a lot of life to it. It's just down the stretch, he couldn't get it done against the Astros. So, yeah, you're right. If teams are thinking of him being the key piece or being the number one who would need to come up with a big playoff win, maybe you're a little leery right now, but he still has great stuff.
He's going to be 31 this season. He's looking for a 6-year deal around $160 million. Is he that much better than John Gruden?
That's a great comparison. I'd love to see Darvish coach the Raiders and see what happens. I think that's the question is, right? Do you consider him Clayton, do you consider Yu Darvish an ace?
No.
Matt, do you consider Yu Darvish an ace?
I did 2 or 3 years ago. Today, especially after the World Series performance, I would say no.
But I bet his agent would say yes, and that's probably how they're positioning him, because he's made a reputation as being the number one guy. He throws a lot of innings. He strikes out a lot of batters. When he was with the Dodgers, he struck out over 11 batters per 9 innings during his brief stint. He had a little bit, it dipped slightly under 10 batters per 9 as far as strikeouts go, but that's still good that's earlier part of the season when he was with Texas. So, he still has a lot to offer, and I think they're trying to position him as that frontline starter, and I'm not sure that teams are going for that.
But at age 31, his strikeout rate has dipped, and his walk rate and his home run rate have risen.
Yeah, the numbers are reflecting a little bit of his age, but they're still good numbers when you look across the league overall.
When you compare... Go ahead.
I think the key stat, Clayton, was that home run rate, and I think he was lucky that most of the home runs he gave up were solo shots. I mean, if that home run rate continues to rise, and we're talking 2-run, 3-run shots, it's a whole different story.
Now, as comparison to Jake Arrieta, who's going to be 32 this season, Jake Arrieta looks to be trying to get a 4-year, $105 million contract. He lost most of the he's had some arm injuries a little bit. He's been still 7th, though, in WAR among pitchers over the past 3 seasons. But Jake Arrieta, very hittable last year.
Yeah, I think Arrieta, he's a year older than Darvish. And I don't know, Arrieta just feels older than he actually is. His numbers have definitely been trending in the wrong direction. Last year, it was a huge setback. He was really prone to the fly ball. And actually, if you look at his hard contact rates, 2015, batters were making 22% hard contact on his pitches. 2016, that number rose to 25%. In 2017, it was 29%. And that also matches up with his increase in his home run rate, home run to fly ball rate, more fly balls. So I think he's just getting more hittable now. He says he's making adjustments, and there was some sign of that towards the end of the season in 2017 that maybe he's fixed some of those problems, but he's definitely been trending in the wrong direction. And you got to remember, this is a guy that kind of came out of nowhere and the Cubs quote unquote fixed when they got him from Baltimore. So was that short lived and he's sort of regressing back to the pitcher he was in Baltimore? Now, he's still pretty far from being that type of pitcher, but He's 32, and how much more does he really have left?
Would Dennis Green say about him that he's really the Baltimore pitcher, Matt? He is who we thought he was.
Yeah, I mean, it looks that way a little bit as far as, you know, he did have a couple dominant seasons there, but it looks like, yeah, as he's gotten a little older, the you know, the luster's worn off a little bit. You know, it's funny. We talked, you know, $25 million for a pitcher is a lot of money, especially a starting pitcher that's in his 30s. But I can't, you know, I still see teams paying somewhere close to that. He might not get 25, but he could probably get 20 somewhere. And, you know, if he did fix a couple issues, he's still, you know, he's still a guy that's going to go out there and get you 200 innings. And especially in the National League, he can hit the ball too. So not that you really, you know, look into that much as your pitcher, but, you know, it doesn't hurt. So
he was averaging 94.6 miles per hour on his fastball when he got to the Cubs last year, dipped to 92.1. And what's really interesting about him are his splits, and he just can't get lefties out. Right-handers hitting 612 OPS, lefties 840.
Yeah, and even if he's fixed some of his issues, pitchers generally don't gain velocity as they get older. So his velocity is starting to go down, and maybe he just does not have as much life on his pitches, and that's why hitters are getting on top of those pitches and hitting them out or hitting them hard. And if you hit it hard, sometimes it's going to go out. So a lot of those are probably coinciding. And I'd be leery giving him a lengthy deal. I agree with Matt. He's still got a lot of value. He's not going to be that number one or 1A guy that he was supposed to be, that he was in Chicago during those two pretty dominant years or three dominant years. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what team gets him.
If you're a general manager, would you rather spend $120-160 million and get one of these jabronis, or would you rather go out and get two guys and get Alex Cobb and Lance Lynn?
For me, the guy I really love this offseason who's a free agent is Alex Cobb. Lance Lynn is a guy who'll give you innings. So if you're looking for something a little cheaper, someone who you know, innings are valuable, especially this day and age when you're trying to get, you know, as much innings as you can before you get to your bullpen. For Alex Cobb, if you look at his home stats, there in Tampa, he had a .211 batting average against, .605 OPS against. And in the 84 innings at home, he only gave up 65 hits. He only walked 16 batters also in those 84 innings, and his whip was under one. So I really like those home numbers, especially if you can get him to the West Coast in a big park. I think he'll do really well. Team like the Giants, Dodgers, obviously. Not that those teams are necessarily looking to pay out for a pitcher what he's going to be commanding, but I think in especially in the National League and some of those West Coast parks, or the Angels would be a great spot for him as well.
The Angels is a terrible spot for everybody, Matt, because all you do is go there and get hurt and be terrible at baseball.
Exactly, and be the second tier team in Los Angeles, and maybe give the Astros a run for about half a season, and then, you know, get a wild card and lose in the wild card game. Yeah, that's the Angels. But, like Jeff said, I think Cobb might be the best arm out there right now as far as looking for value. But they're saying he's looking for 4 years, $70 million. So, you know, it's, $17 million a year. I don't know how much value that really is. But, I think he's a young arm that's improving. And wherever he lands will be a good fit. I'm with Jeff, or I'm with you, Clayton, or both of you. I'd rather take two of those guys, like a Cobb and a Lynn, rather than getting one of Arrieta or Darvish.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing with Cobb makes him a little unique is he will be 30, but he has pretty low mileage on his arm. He only has 700 career major league innings. Haven't looked at what his minor league inning number is, but he's had some early injuries. He had Tommy John, so he missed some time, but he's come back really healthy from that. Really solid year last year. And so I think if you're going to invest money in him, the age shouldn't really scare people, because when you look at the amount of innings, again, it's low, and I think you'll still get good value on that. I think that 4 year What would you say about 4 years, $70 million? I think actually that's a pretty good deal for him.
Yeah, I like the idea of trying to maybe get both of them, even if you're a team like Seattle that maybe can score some runs, has a big park, plays in those big AL Western parks. That might be an option. They always, even though they don't have any money, are willing to spend money. So we'll see if they are smart enough to pull that trigger. They also don't have a whole lot beyond King Felix, who is hurt all the time. They got Mike Leake, who's a little bit dependable, but Paxton's been hurt. So maybe a team like Seattle might be a good fit for both of them. When we come back, we'll talk SEC football, which is also, unfortunately, the national championship game on Monday. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio, 920 The Game.
Music provided by country sensation Buckstein. For albums, tour dates, and merchandise, check them out at buckstein.net.
Knock pain out at the source. Dr. John Petrick of the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center has been caring for the best combat athletes in the world for the past 14 seasons on the hit reality series, The Ultimate Fighter. Unfortunately, pain doesn't just happen in the octagon. If you suffer from headaches, neck pain, shoulder injuries, carpal tunnel, back spasms, hip and knee pain, disc problems, and nerve-related issues, the dedicated team at the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center in Henderson uses the same active release techniques on you that target the cause of pain instead of just chasing the symptoms. Dr. Petrick will have you feeling like a champion and ready to tackle whatever confronts you in the octagon of life. Visit Dr. Petrick at LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com or call 702-948-2520 to set up an appointment. Don't settle for feeling good when you can feel great.
Looking for a high-quality wood bat for your summer league game?
Want to make a home run impression at your next award presentation? Visit PhoenixBats.com.
Phoenix Bats has been proudly crafting premium game bats and award bats right here in the USA since 1996.
Approved for use by players in major and minor leagues since 2000, each and every Phoenix bat meets the same high standards for wood quality.
This ain't no big box sports store bat, it's a Phoenix bat.
Get yours at PhoenixBats.com.
Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show right here on NBC Sports Radio. It's brought to you by the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center with locations in both Henderson and on the west side. Dr. John Petrick and his dedicated staff are committed to helping you lead a pain-free life. Visit them at lvaprc.com and take the first step toward feeling great. And Matt, haven't had Dr. John on a while. You know why?
Why is that?
Dr. John is in Rome right now taking a gladiator class at the Colosseum.
I wouldn't expect anything less. That's awesome.
Yeah, he just posted on the Facebook some pictures. He's like, oh, yeah, headed to the Coliseum. Got my gladiator class today. Fueled up, carved up last night, he said, with some pasta, Jeff, and headed off. I didn't even know they had gladiator classes at the Coliseum, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I did see that. He's doing the gladiator class. He's doing some authentic Italian cooking classes. Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic trip.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Clayton, I got some news that's going to make your morning now.
Oh, yeah?
They announced that it's Tennille, Nagasu, and Chen on the women's figure skating team. Oh. Wagner is the first alternate.
Breaking news right here on the Joe Fan Show. Thank you for that, Matt. I feel better. I feel vindicated. I feel excited for women's figure skating at the Olympics. Mari Nagasu, my girl. That's who I want to see. Bring it home. For USA.
There we go. Go get that gold.
And good for her because she was in the Olympics in 2010 on the Vancouver team, and then she got jobbed by Ashley Wagner after beating her at Nationals, missed out on going to Sochi. She thought about retiring. She stuck with it, and it all came to fruition. She had 6 triple jumps, and she's the only woman in the United States doing a triple axel. She double-footed it last night, but she's going to get that right. And that's going to be a huge component score for her. Good luck, Mari Nagasu. So proud of her, Karen Chen, and Tennille. It's going to be great. Stay home, Ashley Wagner. Enjoy your La La Land music. Oh, this is great.
Nice.
Now, if only Camille Stock today will pull it off today, we could see history today, Matt. History.
History. If this doesn't get you fired up for the Winter Olympics, I don't know what does.
Yeah, I'm all jazzed up. They're in Austria today as well. A four-man bobsled getting underway. Our buddy Evan Weinstock has been moved from Justin Olsen's sled up to Cody Baskew. Cody Baskew having the best season for Team USA. Looks like Team USA, Matt, going to get three sleds in, but they're going to top heavy put one together. The best pushers with the best driver, instead of kind of spreading it out and having maybe three with a bronze medal chance, they're going for it. They're going to put everybody, I think, with Cody Baskew. And right now, Evan Weinstock on the number one sled.
That's awesome. He was great when we had him on the show, and you know we're pulling for him, and I think it's a good move. You know, let's go for the gold with the best team that we have.
You know, while we're talking about Winter Olympics, you know, a lot of people are down on hockey because we're not going to have the NHL players this year. But I'm excited. We get an opportunity to see some young players that we don't really get to see that often. I watched the Junior World Championships for hockey. Canada just won. That was fantastic television. That was fantastic sports, high-level competition. So I'm excited to see some of these young players that I think hockey is still going to be great for the Olympics.
Yeah, it's certainly wide open when you look at Team USA, Matt. It's a lot of young guys and Brian Gionta, who has been around forever, going to be the captain of Team USA, which I think is a good move for Tony Granato to have a veteran presence, a guy like Brian Gionta, who's been to the Olympics before. He's been a captain in the NHL. He's won a Stanley Cup with the New Jersey Devils, and so I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting that Russia, the prohibitive favorite, or excuse me, Olympic athletes from Russia, they're going to be the number one favorite going into it, because they have a lot of those KHL players. They've yet to announce their squad, but I would expect Ilya Kovalchuk will be on there. I expect Vadim Shipachev will be there. A number of guys that play in the KHL that we are familiar with, probably the most experienced.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I'm just saying I'm excited. I kind of cringe when I hear people say, hockey's not going to be worth watching this year. You know, if you like the Olympics, you like just sport and competition, if you like hockey, if you're a fan of the sport hockey, this is an opportunity that you don't really get that often to see some up-and-coming players that we may eventually see in the NHL really compete at the highest level, because you know the Olympics really brings out that competition.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish the NHL guys were going, but I'm going to be curious. And Matt, it'll be fun over on the Vegas Golden Knight Insider Show. We're going to talk to Mike Ruzioni again before the Olympics, and it'll be fun to get his thoughts on what it's going to be like to not have the NHL players there.
Yeah, because this is, you know, it's been a few years now since we've had it like this. So I like the amateurs, and even though, yeah, you know, we're a bigger underdog, at least we're gonna have kids over there that are fighting for it or hungry for it, and you know, gonna give everything they have. So, yeah, like Jeff said, it's still worth watching because you're still gonna see some good young players that, you know, eventually you will see in the NHL one day, and you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember I saw that guy in the 2018 Olympics.
You know who was on the 1988 team? Speaking of like the one of the last times that there were non-NHL players.
What's that?
Mean Gene Okerlund's son. Remember Mean Gene from wrestling when you were 9 or 10? Yeah, his son was on the 1988 Olympic team. Hey, Matt, you know, we're talking about all these things that are fun to watch, and we've glossed over and completely not talked about the national championship game because it's two SEC teams, and I don't really care. I just sort of hope that Georgia beats Alabama because that's the lesser of two evils. But who do you like on Monday?
I mean, let's talk about the Rose Bowl real quick.
Real quick, because we're up against the break.
I think Alabama wins this because their defense is tough. If they stop the run and Fromm's made the win through the air, it's going to be tough. But if Georgia can establish any kind of running game, it should be a good game.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Matt there. If Georgia can get the run going, they had two players. Michelle went 181 yards, Chubb 145 yards. It's a lot for Alabama to contain, although they have one of the top rush defenses in all of college football. So it'll be a great game, I think.
Yeah, it'll be all right. I'll have one eye on it, one eye on some hockey on Monday night. When we come back, a little Q&A time. This is the Joe Fan Show, NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game.
Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Joe Fan Show and on the web at joefanshow.com.
The Las Vegas Pain Relief Center in Henderson. Are you suffering from back, hip, neck, or knee pain? Dr. John Petrick and the team at the Las Vegas Pain Relief Center are ready to help you move more freely and feel better. Want to get your golf swing back? Improve your tennis serve? Be able to catch that grounder that got between your legs. Visit LasVegasPainReliefCenter.com to take the first step toward a pain-free day. The Las Vegas Pain Relief Center, 702-948-2520. Don't settle for feeling good when you could feel great.
Welcome back to the Joe Fan Show. It's time for Q&A. Remember, if you would like to send us a question, just email us to submissions@joefanshow.com or tweet us at Joe Fan Show. And sorry, Matt, to rush you through the national championship game, but I knew that you would want to answer this first question that I saw in the bag. And Andy in Arborview asked, is Chad Brown making the right decision to run Stellar Wind in the Pegasus instead of breeding her with American Pharoah? Hashtag risky business.
There is some risk involved because, you know, obviously anything can happen in a horse race. A horse can, you know, take a bad step, break down, whatever it is. But, you know, Chad Brown is one of the best trainers in the country, you know, kind of up and coming the last 4 or 5 years where he's really established himself up with the, you know, top guys like Bob Baffert and Todd Pletcher. So, you know, I'd trust anything Chad Brown's doing. They went out and auctioned and got this horse. And you know, her run in the Breeders' Cup was not good, and it's kind of tough to see why, because she ran so well. Yeah, she's going to be taking on the boys going against Gunrunner, you know, Collected, West Coast. So she really could be up against it, but the purse for this race is $16 million. So we're talking, you know, we're talking, you know, $10 million to the winner. So it's worth taking a shot. You know, they can always breed her right after, and you know, Chad Brown, I wouldn't put anything past him. Think if she hits the board, you're talking a couple $1 million.
Yeah, I agree with Matt. I think it was worth taking a shot. The owners said they didn't feel like they had the crop of stallions that were worthy to be bred. So I'm with Matt. Take a shot. It's a huge purse, and then it can come. Breeding can come later.
Yeah, and I think you're going to make your money back for the entry on whatever foal comes out of Stellar Wind and American Pharoah. So that's going to be a high price. How would you like to take that horse to auction, Matt?
Woo! I mean, yeah, you're talking bloodlines there that'll get people excited. We still haven't seen American Pharoah. You know, it's early in his stud career. We haven't seen any runners on the track. There's always that chance that, you know, even though he was a Triple Crown winner, like you know, Secretariat, that, you know, they don't always produce the best horses on the track, so you never know.
That's right. We don't. We haven't seen a Grand Slam champion coming out of Steffi Graf and Andre Agassi, right? So,
exactly.
There you have it. TJ in Las Vegas asks, does UNLV look like a tournament team, or are they still a year away? Hashtag running Rebs.
I mean, they're having a great year, no doubt. You know, sitting there at 12-3, tournament team. Yeah, I would say they would have to win their conference, I would say, to end up in the tournament. It's gonna be tough, you know, we're still early in the year. But if they win their conference, obviously they get in, but I think that's really the only way this year. Next year, definitely I would say they could be a team. But with the bigs, you never know. I mean, I'm not gonna put it past them.
Yeah, I think they're still about a year away. They're going the right direction. They're still not better than the program of Boise State, Nevada, San Diego State. So I think once they can sort of leap over some of those programs, they'll have a shot. So, yeah, I think next year they definitely have a chance if they keep going this way.
Of course they are a tournament team, Matt, because they've got the NIT, they got the CIT, they got the CBI. They're going to make a tournament. They're not going to turn down the NIT. They used to have the old Vegas 16. Remember when that tournament was going to be something, and then they like couldn't get 16 teams, so they had eight, but they still called it the 16. And they're like, "Yeah, we're going to do this next year," but then they didn't do it next year. But I think UNLV on the right direction. Tough win against San Jose State, but at least they won, even though it took them overtime. Fun show today. Thanks to Matt Reed, to Jeff Klein for joining me. You've been listening to the Joe Fan Show here on NBC Sports Radio 920 The Game. Stick around. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Go Mariah Nagasu. Go get yourself a gold medal. We'll see you next time, next Saturday, right here, 7 o'clock, NBC Sports Radio, The Joe Fan Show.